These guys do a fantastic job, man. I appreciate them so much. Message title today, A Call to Holy Living. A Call to Holy Living. Why would I even preach a message like this? Well, it's very simple, because the Bible says that we are to be holy because He's holy.
Amen.
Amen? And so, let me share with you what the great Billy Graham once said. He said this, and I quote, "The effective Christians of history have been men and women of great personal discipline, mental discipline, discipline of the body, discipline of the tongue, and discipline of the emotions." Want me to read that again? That's a lot to take in, isn't it? The effective... How many of you want to be an effective Christian, number one? I want to be effective for the kingdom. The effective Christians of history have been men and women of great personal discipline, of mental discipline, discipline of the body, discipline of the tongue, and discipline of the emotions. Boy, I don't know how you're doing at that, but I have days when I'm not that good at it. Yesterday was one of those days. You ever go to the phone store to get your phone fixed? I probably don't even have to say another word. I go in there, my phone, up until day before yesterday morning, worked perfect. And then, it just quit working perfect. In fact, it didn't work at all. It would, if I was in internet service somewhere, it would work, but outside of that, it would do nothing. And it said, you have to download this update. I mean, you know, we better be downloading updates from the kingdom every day. It said, you gotta download this update. So I went and did the thing and downloaded the update. It said the download's updated and it's ready to go. You've done it. Yay, team. Now you gotta install it. So I installed it and it said, we can't do it because you're not on the internet. Yes, I'm on the internet. I am on the internet. I know I'm on the, I can text message. I can receive emails. I can get on Facebook. I know I'm on the internet. It said, well, you're not on the internet. Well, something gunny bag somewhere. So I go to the store to get it fixed. They say, your phone's broke. You can't fix it. You gotta buy a new one. I'm looking for one of my dog's chew toys about right now. Because my phone was fine. Until they told me it wasn't fine. So I start to buy a new phone, because you're not getting out of there unless you, I mean, if you're gonna have a phone, you gotta have, and I, you people want me to have a phone, so I have a phone. Well, what's your 4-digit PIN to your Verizon account? No problem. I got it right here in my phone. That doesn't work. So I finally am able to get into where I have my password stored in my phone, and it says right on it, Verizon PIN, 4-digit PIN. I said, well, here it is right here. Nope, they said, that's wrong. Well, it's what I have, and it's my PIN. Well, it's not what we have, it's wrong. So if you only get like 2 tries, and then they lock you out. You can't try no more. So I exhausted all my free tries at the Verizon store. And now I said, well, I got to reset my PIN. Well, how do you reset your PIN? Well, you call customer service. My phone doesn't work. not kidding. This is exactly what happened. If you know anything about me, I can bite a deer bone in half right now. I'm about to blow a gasket. I gotta call customer service to reset this pin. But my phone doesn't work. Do you understand that, people? Yeah, your phone don't work. Can I borrow your phone? No. We have to keep ours open because somebody might call in wanting information about one of our promotions. I said, I'm trying to make you a sale here today. I need to call your customer service. I said, can I borrow your phone? Talking to the salesman. I said, can I borrow your phone? No, I've got 5 kids and they might have an emergency and need to contact me. I said, I'm just trying to make you a sale today, sir. He said, well, that's not near as important as my children are. And I get that. There's a total stranger lady standing at the counter. And I said, ma'am, could I borrow your phone? She said, well, yeah, you can. The guy behind the counter heard me. He says, I've got a personal phone. You can use it. Well, thank you very much. We finally get a hold of him. Finally get him. And it's whoever that, you know, you can't understand him anyway. How may I help you? I'm just trying to make light of this because it wasn't very easy yesterday, all right? So anyway, he says, well, sir, would you like to try your pin? I know I've already exhausted all my chances. He says, you got one more. I was like, sweet. The lady goes, just give them 4 numbers. And so I just, 4 numbers. Well, sir, that's it. Very good. That's the one. Really? Yeah. Well, all right. I don't need to talk to you anymore, so I'm back to talking to these guys because now they can get into my account. At the end of the day, I walk out. I got a brand new phone. Yeehaw! But this whole part about the discipline of the tongue and the discipline of the emotions, I was on the breaking point of that whole deal. It's hard to stand on the other side of the counter and deal with somebody over a telephone when they know it's for Pastor Shane. Because it says so right there, Harvest Christian Assembly. And I'm fighting. There's a war going on. But God has called you and I to holy living. And I can stand before you today and say, I passed. Pretty much, I probably got a C. But I passed. Amen. I might have just got a C. Maybe a C minus when it first started. But by the time it was over, I was bumping a B plus. All right. But I'm telling you, this whole idea of disciplining our body and disciplining our tongue and disciplining our emotions, church, we act off of our emotions so often that it just becomes the natural response. And I'm telling you, we've got to come to a place where we grab that and take it in our control. And because your emotions will get you in trouble. Amen. The Bible's filled, church, with promises that God has made to those who have believed in His call and salvation. It's filled with promises. The promises that God makes to you and I as believers and the hope that we have based on what we know about God ought to motivate us to live a holy life for Him. Now, I'm not saying a perfect life. But you can walk holy before the Lord in this pile of flesh that we call our body. Can I encourage you with this? Christ is coming soon. Christ is coming soon, church. His imminent return ought to motivate us to live more for Him. It means being mentally alert. It means being morally disciplined. And it means to be spiritually focused. spiritually focused. We need to spend time in God's Word. We need to spend time in prayer. We need to spend time with one another. Amen? Stand with me this morning as we read God's Word. Turn to 1 Peter. Turn to 1 Peter. Chapter 1. Jump down to verse 13. We're going to read through verse 21. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as the Lamb without blemish, without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Father, I pray this morning over every person in this place, Lord, that You would open up this Word to us. Lord, help us to gird up the loins of our mind. Help us to be sober and put our rest fully upon the grace that is brought by the revelation of Christ Jesus in our lives. Lord, I thank You for this day. Thank You for this time to gather together. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Let me tell you something, church, as you're seated. The assuredness of salvation is basic for holy living. Amen. The assuredness of salvation is basic for holy living. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means if you ask Jesus to come into your life and save your soul, you're saved. Amen? I mean, you're saved. There's a level of assuredness wrapped up in all of that. And through Christ, you and I as believers are forgiven. We're reckoned to be righteous. And by the new birth, we are renewed in the image of God. See, fallen men and women can only produce the works of flesh. Is this on? Working? Okay, good. Fallen men and women can only produce the works of the flesh. When in my before Christ days, well, they didn't have cell phones back then, but if they would have, and if I'd have been in that phone store in those days, things could have went a little different. I'll do the preaching. Would have went a little different. I'm just certain of it. And apparently others of you are too. But it's true, because that's the way we act and we manifested through our flesh. But see, we're children of God now. We're called, as Billy Graham said, if you want to be effective, then you need to discipline your body, discipline your tongue, and discipline your emotions. How many of you have a little bit of trouble with this thing between our teeth we call a tongue? I mean, if you don't keep that thing duct taped down, it will get away from you. Amen? And I mean, just like that, bam, it's gone. I mean, and once something comes off, I don't know if you've noticed this, but once something rolls off of your tongue, you cannot get it back. It's like feathers in a windstorm. They're just gone. The damage has been done. You can say, I'm sorry, until the cows come home, but the damage is already, oftentimes, has been done. See, it's only the Spirit, by the new birth, that can renew and recover that which was destroyed by the fall. In Galatians chapter 5, if you want to turn there to chapter 5 and verse 16 and 17 in Galatians. I'm just giving you some instruction today. I'm just giving you some instruction in how to live a holy life. And it says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Woo! Yeah. For the flesh, verse 17, lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. If you don't get a handle on your flesh, are you hearing me? Listen, let me tell you something. I might be the pastor, but I don't have a handle on this deal either. There are areas in our life that we've constantly, constantly, constantly got to be working on. Paul describes living by the Holy Spirit as more of a choice than a complex process. Some believers, or some believe rather, that this part of the Christian life is a mystery. And while the actual nature of Christ's saving work may, in fact, border on the mysterious, our role is clear. We have to simply trust in Him. Well, how do you trust in Him when you just blew it? Anybody want to take a stab at that? I'll help you with it. John just sang about it. It's amazing grace. It's amazing grace. It's the grace of God that carries us through those times when we try and live for God, and with all of our heart and our mind, but our flesh. Listen, I got about 230 pounds of it, and it's hard sometimes to keep it under control, to keep it under subjection, to say, no, we're not working things out your way. We're working through the spiritual side of this body, and that's the way it's going to be. And your flesh is screaming at you the whole time. Living by the Spirit means that we submit to His authority, welcome His guidance, accept His correction, live under His restraint, rely on His power, and allow Him to unify us with other believers. I said that pretty fast. Want me to say it again slow? It ain't fun. It ain't easy. But it's worth it. Living by the Holy Spirit means that we submit to His authority. What does that mean? That means we come under the authority of Jesus Christ. We do what His Word says for us to do. And can I just tell you that I can look across this congregation here this morning, and I know that in the last one day, there are those of you in here that have followed the instruction that your pastor gave you in taking some very what could be very hard and difficult steps to right some things in your life, because God wants us to be right. Hello? And there are processes to getting things right. He says if we have aught with somebody, we ought to go to them and take care of it. I don't want to say it's a lost art, because it's not an art, but it's a lot. Let me say it this way. It's a lost discipline in the church today. If I get mad over here, I'm just going to go over here. The problem is, it ain't going to be very long over here before you get mad over here, and now you got to go over there, and it ain't going to be long until you're mad over there, and now you're going to go over here, and we get hurt, mad, whatever, all over the country, and we never deal with it, and so everywhere we go, because we've never dealt with the root of it, we've never brought the flesh under subjection, we've never done the biblical process, we end up carrying the disease from place to place. And 6 foot spacing ain't going to help you. But it's amazing what happens when we follow the biblical pattern by going to somebody and saying, hey, I simply ask you to forgive me. And if I've done anything to hurt you or whatever, and you bring that and you get in and you do those things and you take care of it, I'm telling you, it's because we are submitted to His authority, and it's a miracle what God will do. It's no wonder the church is sick today. Because that's how we spread disease. Spiritually. But I want you to know, and you know who you are, and I'm not going to say who you are because it's between you and I and God. But I'm proud of you, and I want to say that to you. That I am proud of you. Some of you have made phone calls to me this week when my phone was still working. And we had lengthy discussion about things in your life. Things that you just don't automatically pick up the phone and call and say, hey, this is the deal. Because nobody wants to be labeled with what the deal is. But there's a desire from down inside that says, hey, I want to live a life holy unto God. And in order for me to do that, I've got to deal with some of this stuff in here. And so we call somebody that we can trust, and I'm grateful today that they decided that they could trust this pastor enough to call me on the phone and say this and that. And we prayed through it, and we talked about it, we did the right thing, and I'm telling you, it's because we submit to His authority. We accepted the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we accept the correction, we live under the restraint, we rely on His power, we allow Him to unify us with other believers. See, living by the Spirit doesn't mean a casual, part-time relationship. Can I tell you something? The disciples of the New Testament, they weren't just come to church on Sunday for an hour kind of guys. Which is what often, and it's sad to say, but it's often how the church is today. We're gonna go to church on Sunday because we're Christians. Christmas is coming up, and guess what? The church will probably be full on Christmas service morning. You know why? Because it's Christmas. I mean, if you're going to go to church, we've got to go to church on Christmas. I mean, for crying out loud. Or Easter. CEOs, Christmas and Easter only. Can I just tell you something? Jesus Christ did not die on the cross to empower you and I to live a holy life in a casual, part-time relationship. When He went to the cross, He went to the cross 100%. He died completely dead. Graveyard dead. They took Him from the cross, put Him in the ground. He was there for 3 days, and the third day resurrected. You know why? Because He wanted to establish a relationship that was way more than some casual, part-time relationship. We must treat His control like a shower. I took a shower this morning and loved it. But you gotta treat His control like a shower. If we stand back and stick our foot in the stream of water, we might be able to guess the temperature of the water, but you're never gonna get clean that way. We must be immersed in the Holy Spirit as if stepping fully into the shower's cleansing and invigorating stream and let it cover us. That's why we need to be washed in the blood. Some churches take a little water. You want baptized? A little dab will do you. Better give you. That is not what the word baptize means. The word baptizo means to submerse, to be completely covered in the water. And the water is significant, is signified. Listen, they didn't bury Jesus with his arms sticking up. He was completely, if I can use the word, submerged in the ground. He was completely concealed. He was in the ground. Listen, to reach the highest human potential, to have abundant life, we must accept Jesus by faith. I talked to a person this week, and they shared with me that they don't talk to Jesus anymore. They don't talk to God anymore. They don't read their Bible anymore. They really don't pray anymore. They just put him off on the back shelf. And I said, well, just get him off the back shelf and put him back out front and center. Can I just tell you, that's literally all you have to do? And that person was worrying about her salvation. Can I just tell you something? The fact that they were worried about it is indication to me that the Holy Spirit's still in you, because if He wasn't still in you, you wouldn't give a rip. Amen? He said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. Yes, He's there. Yes, you can't have fun sinning anymore once you give your life to Jesus. I tried it. You cannot have fun sinning because He's right there. You really want to do that? Well, I did when I got here. It's true. 2 seconds ago I did. But now that you say it that way, is that right? The Holy Spirit is there. He's inside of you, not to convict, not to condemn you, which is what the enemy wants to tell you, you're condemned. No, the Holy Spirit's job is to convict you. He convicts us. Why does He convict us? Because of correct, He wants to correct us. He wants to correct you and I. The value, boy, oh boy. To reach the highest human potential, to have abundant life, we have to accept Jesus by faith. The value of the human being can be inferred from the price paid to redeem man. Do you hear that? Your value, the price tag stuck on your head, someone was willing to pay. It can be inferred by the price. You know how you tell the value of something? That you can determine the value by what somebody's willing to pay for that. And God looked down and He saw you and you and you and all y'all and me, and He said, those are my prized possessions. Created for good works. He created us with specific purposes. Listen to me, church. I try and preach a lot about Jesus, but I'm going to tell you about the devil. He's got one job, and that is to win you back. He's going around like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. He goes around like a roaring lion. He wants to get you off track. He wants to get you out of the loop. He wants to get you sidetracked. He wants to get you off course. He wants to get you anywhere that He can get you as long as it's away from God. And He doesn't care how He does it. But the value has been paid by Christ on the cross. John 3:16 says it very plainly that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus said, listen, I'm willing to go and pay my life, shed my life blood to redeem fallen man. Very interesting, in the phone store yesterday. They know who I am. And I'm cutting up. I'm clowning around. I rarely do that. But that day I was. And they said, are you really the pastor? I said, oh yeah. They said, I bet your church services are fun, huh? I said, you ain't got no idea. I said, we have a good time. Well, what religion are you? My favorite question. Woo-hoo-hoo! You ask me that, I got you. I said, well, I'm not religious. I said, Jesus Christ never came to this earth to establish religion. I said, His sole purpose in coming from heaven to earth in the form of a baby was to restore a severed and a broken relationship between sinful fallen man and a holy and a righteous God. And they just stood there staring at me like a mule looking at a new gate. I'll guarantee you one thing. They probably won't forget about that phone sale. I'm telling you, church, if we will submit to His leading and His authority, if we'll do what He's asked us to do, if we'll ask Him to use us, He'll use you in the phone store. Or at the gas station or wherever. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says that you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body as well as in your spirit, which are God's. We read this verse of Scripture, we just skip right over that part, don't we? Look at what it says in the end. Glorify God in your body, that's this, as well as your spirit. Why? Well, because they aren't yours. They're God's. He bought you. He purchased you. You're no longer your own. He didn't buy you for some casual part-time relationship. You have things at home that you have a casual part-time relationship with. You want me to prove it to you? Go home, clean your closet out. Any one of them. Just pick one, go clean it out. You'd be going through that thing and be like, I haven't seen that in a while. Hey, don't be elbowing each other now. I told you. I had a nerve with that one. He does not want a casual part-time relationship. The Son of God, the Divine One, who came through the world, were created, He became flesh, He died for the sins of humanity. And the fact that He willingly shed His blood, the fact that He willingly died on the cross for you and I, reveals not only the value of the human personally, but also the importance of salvation. Go back to our original text, verse 13, 1 Peter chapter 1. This is what it says. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully in the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The word therefore ties
Peter's following challenge with the previous passage, which is this, in chapter 1, verse 10 through 12. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those things, or through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Wow! See, because the prophets had foretold the great privileges of the gospel, and even the angels longed to understand them better, you and I as believers should show the same kind of interest and concern regarding the way we live.
You want to know what my prayer is? My prayer is that God would catch me doing something for His glory when He comes to get us.
Amen. That's all.
God, just come when I got it right. Amen. Can I get an amen? God, just come when I got it right, will you? Like right now. Today would be good.
Amen.
Right now. Come, Lord, quickly. See, we don't need to be holy in order to be saved, but we're called to a holy living in order to portray God's nature and His grace to an unbelieving world. Do you think they would have asked me much about our church if I'd have just blew off on the handle on them people in there? All they'd been wanting to do is get me a heck out of there. But no, because at least for once in my life, I controlled it. I kept it under subjection. I subdued my flesh. That might not be big to you, but that's huge to me. The price that was paid for our redemption ought to result in our faithful obedience to Him. Peter challenges you and I and the believers that he was writing to prepare our minds for action, to roll up our sleeves. Obedience doesn't always come naturally, and it doesn't often come easily. How many of you know that to be true? In the Greek, the phrase "gird up the loins of your mind," it pictures a person girding up his loins by tucking his long robes into the belt around his waist in order to run. You want an example of it? Read and study about the prodigal son. When the father, he had left and he'd spent all of his money and he was in the hog pen, the whole deal, you know the story. But the deal is, when the boy come home, his father was still waiting for him. This is an encouragement to maybe some of us that have slipped off the trail or whatever and went our own direction. But he's the Lord is in the same place you left him. The father was on the porch and he was looking down the road at that bend in the road down there where he last saw his boy go around the corner and out of sight. And when he came back around that corner, the father was still saying, "That's my boy." He jumped up off the porch. He girded his loins. He gathered up his stuff and he tucked it in his belt and he ran to his boy. That's the picture that's being portrayed here. He girded up his loins. The word "minds" refers to spiritual and mental attitudes. To lead holy lives in an evil world, as believers, we need a new mindset. Hello. Let me pretend like I'm really smart. There are things in your head, in your brain. You ever seen a picture of a brain, all the little grooves and all that stuff? Those are called neural pathways. Hey. Neural pathways. And you can change them. The way they're running in there, you can change them. You don't like the way that one's going? Change it. You know how you change it? By doing what you're supposed to do. You can literally change. That's how habits are broken. That's how you break a habit. You change that neural pathway. You can't just look in the mirror and fix it. You've got to set a course. You've got to stay the course. You've got to keep doing the right thing. And as you continue to do the right thing, the wrong thing will fade away. Because you've changed, you've reestablished a new neural pathway in your mind. They're called synapses. There is another thing in there. We can do that. God, oh man, He's so smart. He's so good. He don't want us living beaten up and defeated. He wants us to get some things. Oh, there you go. I mean, literally, that's exactly what we're talking about. To lead holy lives in an evil world, we need a new mindset. Listen. You know the greatest remedy for all the stuff that's going on in our world right now? The number one cure for all the stuff that's going on in our world right now. Turn off the TV. Turn it off. Because I promise you, if you stop the inflow, the outflow is going to become different. I promise you. So like robes that are already girded up, our mind ought to be set and prepared, ready for action at God's prompting. Listen, I've been working hard at areas in my life, in working on our relationships, my wife and I's relationship, our relationship with the city, relationships everywhere. I'm trying to be the pastor you guys think I am. You just think about that for a second. Because I've had enough of you tell me what you think about me as a pastor, which indicates to me that you probably think I'm doing a pretty good job. I want to be the pastor you think I am.
Amen.
Amen. Because under this shirt and this tie and this belt and these Wrangler jeans, there's 230 pounds of flesh. And it tries to get away all the time. It tries to get away. But I'm telling you, I want to have my mind girded up. And it will make all of us better. God is prompting us for action. The Israelites ate the Passover meal with their loins girded up. Do you understand that? They ate the meal with their loins girded. Their cloak was tucked into their belt. They had sandals on their feet. Their staff was in their hand. They were ready when God called. So the believers, you and I, also must be prepared for action. Ready to obey, follow, speak, and go with Christ when He returns. Look at it this way. Be self-controlled. I talked about that early on. We have to be self-controlled. That means you have to control you. Your wife can't control you. And you can't control her. Be self-controlled is also translated discipline yourself. Discipline yourself. Believers have to avoid drunkenness, addictions, attitudes that would overwhelm and take control of their minds and bodies. You ain't gonna like this. Even the good things in life can take control if they're allowed to. You know something I learned a long time ago about the devil? If he can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And he'll make you busy you doing good things. I mean, you might even be doing church stuff. But if you're not doing God stuff, good ain't going to get it. Even the good things in life can take control if they're allowed to, such as one's career, their education, their creative pursuits.
Peter wanted the believers to remember that as we live in the world, we need to keep full possession of our minds and our bodies so as not to be enticed away from God and lose the preparedness that we need in order to stand for Him. You know what's crazy about this? You're hearing about it today, Sunday. You won't hear about it again unless you get online and watch it and listen to it again. You won't hear about it. By and large, you won't hear about anything about this until next Sunday. You get where I'm going? These disciples, they were at it every day. They quit their fishing. They quit making tents. They quit robbing people of their taxes. Well, where are we going to sleep? Well, the birds have nests and, you know, foxes have holes, but you got a rock. Lay your head on that rock. Well, I really didn't sign up for that. Well, I'll just move on. He wants us to remember that we live in a world that is, I mean, this world, church, is doing everything it can to drag us down. Everything it can to drag us down, to stop us. But we need to stay prepared. Our hope is not some hazy desire that we wish would come true. The reality is it's a confident expectation of what God promised. It is our sure destination. Heaven ain't some pipe dream. Heaven's not some Shangri-La somewhere over there. It's the reality of a place that Jesus is preparing for those who love Him. How do we love Him? We love Him by staying in relationship and not a casual. Listen, men, how far do you think you would go in your marriage if your relationship with your wife is just casual? They don't want a casual husband. You don't want a casual wife. Christ died for a church. The world, I saw this on Facebook, the world is preparing for war. But heaven is preparing for a wedding. Which one are you going to? Ha ha! Yeah, buddy. Be self-controlled. Discipline yourself. Believers' hope is not a hazy desire. Instead, it's a confident expectation of what God promised. The last part of verse 13 says, "Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." We've already received salvation through accepting Him as our Lord and Savior. At least, by and large, we have. I don't know about everybody, but I know for the most part, we have. But the fullness of salvation, the fullness of the grace given to us in Christ with its complete rewards and the blessings will be revealed when Christ is revealed. That is when He returns. And as a result, we can place our hope fully, completely, and unreserved on the grace to be given. We know that we will receive our promised inheritance. One day. I'm going to be handed the keys to a mansion. Woo! Let me close with this, being I'm out of time. 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter's words here offer joy and hope in times of trouble, and he bases his confidence on what God has already done through Christ Jesus. Listen, verse 4 says it's an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. It is reserved for us in heaven who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about you and I have got to walk in a level of faith. Let me tell you something. There's days that this preacher doesn't feel saved. I maybe have done something that would say in the natural, you're not saved anymore. You blew it. You crossed the line. You stepped over. You this, you that. But by faith, I'm declaring, God, in spite of the mess I make of things in my life, I declare my salvation, which is kept for me by the power of God through faith. Amen. Listen, don't listen to the devil. You give whatever it is back to God. Say, God, you know more than anybody else. I blew it. And I blew it big time. But God, I'm asking you, forgive me one more time. God, forgive me again. Peter's words offer joy. They offer hope in times of trouble. And he bases his confidence on what God has done for us in Christ. We live in the wonderful expectation of eternal life. Listen, church, we are living eternally right now. Death is just going to be a transition. Death is just going to be a stepping stone. Right on. Amen? Yep. Our only hope is not only, or rather, our hope is not only for the future. Eternal life begins when we trust Christ and join the family of God. The day you said, Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Your life eternally started in that moment. The reality is we're all living eternally. You have to choose the destination. Heaven or hell. God said, because of what Christ done, you have the choice. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. God will help us remain true to our faith through whatever difficult times we must face. That knowledge should affect the way we live for Christ in the world. Do you ever look at the time that you find yourself living in and say, wonder why I'm living now? Because God put you here for such a time as this. He has a purpose and a plan for your life. And His desire is that the whole world would be saved, although not all the world's going to get saved, but He wants it to be. That knowledge ought to affect the way we live for Christ. The people's sins caused the promise to become only a fading memory. Man, I don't want my salvation to be a fading memory. What I could have had. You ever have those? Could have been this way. Could have been that way. Could have been something else. Well, if I'd have just done. No. It's a promise. We look forward now to another inheritance. We look forward to a priceless inheritance. Eternal life. In the eternal city with an eternal God. He's reserved the inheritance. It'll never fade or decay. It'll be unstained by sin. Let me close with this word right here. The best part is that we have an inheritance if we've trusted Christ as our Savior. Church, you're gonna face obstacles in your life. There are things that have been established in our lives for a long, long time. Things that didn't really bother us before we came to the Lord. But now that we belong to the Lord, now all of a sudden these things seem to be manifested in our lives. It's because the Holy Spirit is bringing them to the forefront so that He can deal with them through His Holy Spirit in our life. He's not bringing that to make us feel bad. He's bringing it for us to ask Him to help us with that. The things that we've lived ways our whole life, and then we expect that in a moment that it's all going to change. And it can. God can do that. Sometimes, more often than not, it's a process. It's a process. It's a walk with the Lord. It's a walk with the Lord. Today, I don't know where you're at. I know where some of you are at, but I don't know where everybody's at, and I certainly don't know who's watching by way of the internet today. But I do know one thing. We all have a common problem, and it's called sin. I do know that there are two destinations in the afterlife. One is a place called heaven, which is a place where God Almighty lives. His Son is there. It's beautiful. I've not seen it. I can't tell you. I've seen it. I know it's just, I just know it's beautiful. The other place is a place called hell, and I can describe that for you. The Bible says that it's a place of eternal torment. It's a place where there is a gnashing of teeth. It's a place where you're burnt with fire but never burnt up. It gets worse. They're screaming. All this kind of gnashing of teeth and screaming and shrieks of pain and anguish. And then there's being eaten by bugs, but never consumed. Can you imagine that? I don't like bugs. I mean, I'm not scared of bugs, but if a bug's on me, I'm not going to be, oh, isn't that cute? Nope. Get off me. To be eaten by, chewed on by bugs, but never consumed. That don't sound like a place I want to be. You want to know what makes hell hell? The absence of God. You want to know what makes heaven heaven? The presence of God. The presence of our Lord and our Savior. And the only way, church, for us to make heaven our home is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I don't know why this stuff comes to me. You don't have to do nothing to make hell your home. You don't have to do nothing to make hell your home. But if you want to avoid, there's only two choices. We're born sinners. God's Word said so. The only way to change that mandate is to be born again. And when you become born again, your destination changes. I'm heaven bound. Amen. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. When He takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. There'll be no sorrow there, no more parting over there. All is peace forevermore on the happy golden shore. What a day. What a glorious day that'll be. Amen. Bow your heads with me, church. Bow your heads. I don't know who you are. I know who I am. I know the battles that I face. I faced one yesterday for about 2.5 or 3 hours in a phone store with this pile of flesh. And God, I know that your people battle the same kinds of things that I do. And Lord, I pray today that you would help us to get control of our flesh. Because God, you do not want part-time, casual relationships with the people that you paid such a high price for. God, I pray today, whether it's someone watching by way of the internet this morning or somebody in this room, hell is so easy to get to. You don't have to do anything. And the reality is, heaven's not very hard to get to either. All we've got to do is ask the Lord to save our souls, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, shower us, as I talked about earlier, to get under the shower, the cleansing, washing of the blood of the Lamb, and allow Him to bless us that way and be cleansed by His blood. That we would be redeemed, and heaven would be ours. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. It's this simple. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you shall be saved. That's God's Word. With heads bowed and eyes closed, people praying in this place today. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today's your day. Today's your day. If you're in the sound of my voice, if you're in this room, and that's you, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up. Don't worry about what anybody thinks about it. I'll tell you what God thinks about it, and He will be excited. This pastor will be excited, and this congregation will be excited. Whether you're watching on by way of the internet today, on Facebook Live, if you're there and you're saying, Pastor, I accept Jesus, I want you to just type something in there and let our tech guys know that that's you. We'll pray with you. If that's you, raise your hand. Anybody at all? Preacher, that's me. I never accepted the Lord, but I sure want to today. Maybe you've accepted Him at some point. Today you're here to recommit. You feel the tugging of the Holy Spirit on your heart. The Bible says this: if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. But if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. So today, maybe that's you. Maybe some way, somehow, life happened and stuff got in the way and you took a wrong path somewhere and you're like the prodigal son. You're down somewhere and you're just wondering how you're ever going to get back. I'm telling you, God's sitting on the porch of heaven waiting for you to come around the corner. And today, if that's you, if you'll slip your hand up, I promise you, God will meet your need right now. God will forgive you. He'll save your soul. He'll set you free. If you'll just slip your hand up and say, Preacher, that's me. I see your hand, young man. You can put it down. I see your hand, ma'am. You can put it down. Anybody else, say, Preacher, that's me. God is dealing with my heart. I want to know that I know that I know that I know that I know that if God came today, I'd go to heaven with Him. If you don't know, if you don't have that blessed assurance, if you don't know, if you don't have what my pastor referred to as no-so salvation, today you can. Anybody else say, Preacher, that's me. I'm walking out of here with no-so salvation. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. Listen, if you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to come. Come meet me right here in front. Come right here to the front. Meet me. Get bold. Make this your day. Come on. I can come get you, but I won't. Come on. Come on, young man. You can do it. God loves you. Come on.
Come on. Come on. There's still room. There's still room. If anybody else needs to be up here, you need to be up here. Well, ha-ha. Bless you, buddy. Proud of you. Want you to know that. You walk out of this place today, you're going to know, no matter what happens, I'm going to heaven. Amen?
Amen?
Ma'am, I want you to know that He loves you. He's always loved you. And He's got a purpose and a plan. The enemy wants to stop it. And here's the thing. He don't care what he has to do to stop you. He just wants to stop you. See, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says it's the little fox that tears up the vine. See, in John chapter 15, we're referred to the God and Jesus is likening Himself to a vine, in a grapevine in a vineyard. And He's talking about that the little fox they can't reach the grapes. Because the vine dresser keeps them up, right? And so they can't reach. So they got to tear down the vine to get to the grape. The big fox, they just come in, reach up, grab the grapes, and are on their way. But a little fox has to tear the vine down. And that's what the enemy does. He just comes and he just starts nitpicking. He just starts doing this and that and this and that. And the next thing you know, we're all tore up and no more. No more. We're going to stand strong for the Lord. Can I get a show of hands this morning of people that will commit to pray for these people at the altar this morning? Because the devil hates what they're doing right now. You turn around and look at these people that have got their hands up right now. Turn around and look at them. Turn around and look at them. I want you to see that. This is the force that you have behind you. These are people that are concerned about your salvation. God has a plan for you, young man. You might not see it, but God does. He didn't make any junk. He said you are created in His likeness. Now that don't mean He created you to look like Him. It means He wired you and made you look just like He wanted you to look, to do exactly what He wants you to do.
Amen.
And these fights that you're fighting, these battles that the enemy brings and confronts you with, they're all meant to just tear you down and tear you down and tear you down and tear you down. Because as long as He can keep you tore down, as long as He can keep you from getting built up, you'll never accomplish what He's asked you to accomplish. And He's asking you to accomplish some things. I know that in my spirit. And today, see, you can't build a house on sand. You can't do it. There's got to be concrete. There's got to be something. The ground under the concrete has to be compacted. It has to be prepared. It has to be made ready for the foundation to stay strong. And right now, this morning, the Holy Spirit, the whole time through this service this morning, the Holy Spirit has been preparing the groundwork under you that He Himself will become the foundation, the cornerstone of your lives. Amen. Would you pray with me? Pray this right out loud. Say, dear Lord, come into my life. Forgive me from everything that I've done, that I have said, that has caused separation between you and I. Repair the broken relationship. And make it right. Wash me in your blood. Fill me with your spirit. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Prepare a place for me. Because I'm coming to be with you for eternity. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Come on, give me some. I'm proud of you. Come here. Can I have a hug, buddy? God bless your heart. Woo! Can we give the Lord a great big hand clap? Let these guys minister to you a little bit, would you? You can be with her and he'll be with him. Father God, we thank you for your goodness, Lord. God, I pray for every person this morning watching by way of the internet. Lord, that they would have sensed your Holy Spirit through the airwaves, however it gets there. God, that they would sense your presence. Lord, that this word has impacted them, that God, it would change them. Lord, that they wouldn't walk in fear and condemnation, but that they would hold their head up, rejoice, because they too have an inheritance. Lord, I pray for every person in this place today. Lord, that they would pray for these that have given their hearts back to the Lord today. God, that we would uphold them and build them up. Call them, tell them that we love them, Lord, and I thank you for it. Watch over us this week. God, bring us together as a family on Wednesday as we celebrate our Christmas party and just have a great time of fellowship. Lord, let us just come together and have fun in your name. And Lord, I thank you for it, give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen and amen. God bless you and God go with you.